This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio number 1330. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave. On this edition, recorded September 26th, Ramadan DX, Thai coup media aftermath, missionaries from Micronesia, medium wave DX tests, Colombian, Peruvian, other LA shortwave DX news, new frequency for Sahara, case dismissed against Voice of the People, and the propagation outlook. As we mentioned two or three weeks ago, Ramadan would be starting approximately September 23rd. Tariq Zaidan in Egypt says it did start on that date in some countries, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Bahrain, Syria, and parts of Iraq, although in Egypt not until September 24th. It all depends on when the new moon can actually be sighted by local Islamic officials. Ramadan is also of interest to non-Muslims around the world because it leads to extended broadcasting schedules by stations in Islamic countries. Dario Monferini in Italy points out that we'll know for sure that Ramadan is underway because Mauritania's 4845 transmitter stays on the air all night. It's not unusual for the superpower medium-wave transmitter in Saudi Arabia on 1521 kilohertz to be audible in eastern North America, at least in the form of a heterodyne of 1 kilohertz against our 1520 stations. Sometimes even the audio from Saudi Arabia can be heard. This transmitter is also on the air all night, or at least much later than usual. Barry McLarnon in Ottawa pointed out in the NRC AM list that it was pounding in as early as 2220 UT. And Bob Young in Massachusetts was hearing it after the nominal sign-off time of 2302, already on September 23rd. Mark DeLorenzo in Massachusetts says you can easily verify that's what you're hearing by comparing it to the shortwave parallels 9555 or 9870. The Jewish holiday Rosh Hashanah was about the same date, but of interest to shortwave listeners is that on Yom Kippur, which is October 2nd this year, Israeli broadcasting usually takes a day off. There will also be confusion as Israel goes off summertime and all shortwave broadcasts suddenly shift one UT hour later, mostly on the same frequencies, I think, for now. In the UDXF Yahoo group, Manolis Petrakis in Crete reports something strange on 6577 upper sideband back on September 7th from 22 to 2234 UT. A message in English and Arabic saying, "Punish for your crime, stop your illegal actions now. We know who you are and it's only a matter of time," giving a phone number. Well, this sounds very much like the Coalition Maritime Forces somewhere in the Arabian Gulf or vicinity, which broadcasts on such out-of-band frequencies against terrorism and pirates. Jari Sabalainen in Finland says no doubt that's what it is, with the same words as heard earlier on various frequencies. In English and Somali as well, again this time it was reported on 6577. An advance schedule has already come out of the Voice of Turkey's planned programming changes, a number of them which they always make at the beginning of new year, January 1st, 2007. Among many other things, it shows a new Spanish broadcast in the evening, American time, 02 to 03 UT on 9865. So far, Latin American listeners have tried to pick up the only Spanish broadcast from Turkey intended for Europe at 1630 or 1730 with great difficulty. So they're looking forward to this new broadcast in the evening, actually intended for Latin America. Trouble is, Jorge Garcia Rangel contacted Voice of Turkey, and someone there denied that there would be any such new broadcast. Probably a lack of internal communication at the station. It remains to be seen what happens January 1st. Christopher Lewis in England tells DX Listening Digest, "I was listening to listeners' special on the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on a Sunday in August, A U.S. listener asked what was the name of their interval signal. As he liked it a lot, they said it was called Baran Eshge. I better spell that B-A-R-I-N-E-S-H-G-H, which means Love's Rainfall. It's by Nasser Cheshmazar, C-H-E-S-H-M-A-Z-A-R. Chris says, I managed to locate a copy and it arrived. It's exactly the same, a nice album. The Nagoya DX Circle via S. Hasegawa and BCDX reports Bangladesh Betar on its new frequency, but not exactly where it's supposed to be, varying to 4753, heard September 16th from 1345, and English news during the final half hour at 1530. However, on September 22nd, Aker Peterson in Denmark, Achividaji Jishish, measured on exactly 4750 from midnight 35 to fade out at 0120. The military coup in Thailand had just happened as I was recording last week's show, so here's a follow-up on the aftermath. There are two relays via U.S. sites of English broadcasts from Radio Thailand on 5890, midnight 30 UT, via Greenville, and at 0200 via Delano. All ears were on the midnight 30 broadcast, at least, including mine, but under the circumstances, all we heard was noise and then some fill music, so they did not yet have their act together. However, by their next English broadcast at 1230 UT, Yogesh in Hong Kong tells us, this was September 20th, they did have detailed news of the coup for 15 minutes and then other news. This is at 1230 on 9835. And the following day at midnight 30, I was listening again, and it was business as usual, with some brief discussions of the coup, how it might affect tourism, an interview with an economist, but lots of material having nothing to do with the coup, including a commercial for Bangkok Airways to visit Hiroshima. And I was listening again another 24 hours after that, UT September 22nd, when they gave an ID as Radio Thailand FM 88. I wonder if that's the station listed in the handbook as Radio No Problem. And by then they were referring to the coup as Tuesday's power shift. But how about other broadcasters into Thailand, shortwave and otherwise? Via CommanderElliott.com, nobody calling Thailand. CNN, BBC, CNBC, and Bloomberg were all blocked on Thai cable television systems. The BBC Thai service was already off the air earlier this year and was not restored despite pleas from Thailand's National Union of Journalists. Now, Voice of America's Thai service is slated to be discontinued in October, though its fate is still not determined, depending on congressional appropriations. But Kim says, will VOA Thai be available through its usual FM affiliates in Thailand? The much-derided medium of shortwave radio might be helpful. There's also the question of what would become of the powerful relay stations in Thailand of VOA and the BBC. They're probably less visible locally, and perhaps they continued unabated. I did hear one broadcast, according to the schedule, from BBC, still coming from Thailand. And of course, the Radio Thailand shortwave broadcasts themselves are over the IBB or VOA facility in Udorn in northeastern Thailand. On his Media Network blog, Andy Sennett comments, there must be or there should be some red faces in Bush House, London. When the BBC World Service made the decision to stop its Thai service earlier this year, Director Nigel Chapman gave the reason that its dedicated journalists have seen Thailand emerge as an Asian democracy with an extensive choice of radio and TV outlets. And he says, I thought then, and I am certain now, that Mr. Chapman was extremely naive and ill-informed to make such comments. Unfortunately, all Thailand's radio and TV outlets now face the threat of censorship, and the Thai population no longer have the ability to tune to London to hear what's going on, even though it's to London that ousted Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawatra has traveled. Andrew Rogers points out on the same blog, it was always an ill-informed decision because all radio and TV stations in Thailand are operated by government agencies and or under government supervision. They are directly owned by the Army or a government agency such as MCOT and subcontract programming, which can be changed at will. Fortunately, there was a bit more freedom of the newspaper press. The Nation in Bangkok reported on September 21st, more than 300 community radio stations in Chiang Mai, Chiang Rai, and My Home Sun suspended broadcasts on orders from the ruling council. On September 26, the Media Corporation of Thailand, MCOT, said this on its own website via Media Network. The board of directors of MCOT announced their resignation en masse to take responsibility for the September 19th incident, the company's board chairman announced. It's a state enterprise, but privatized 2 years ago, remaining about 65% owned by the Thai government through the Ministry of Finance. The Telegraph in London also criticized the BBC for jumping the gun in closing its Thai language service. A full week after the coup, Kim Andrew Elliott pointed out there was still no VOA editorial about the events in Thailand. I suppose they couldn't afford to offend whoever winds up in power with all that IBB investment in Udorn and elsewhere. However, right after the coup, the VOA did add some additional times and frequencies for Thai and English broadcasts for Thailand. Last week, I mentioned a far out-of-band frequency for the Chinese Firedrake jammer, presumably caused by Sound of Hope using that frequency, 10,200 kHz. That didn't last long, however. In the following week, the jamming and presumably SOH have been heard on 10,400 kHz. And also at times here in our mornings on 13970, although the lower frequencies are generally propagating better at that time. I'm again hearing Radio Singapore International in the clear, unimpeded by Australian co-channel interference, on 6080. It's during the 11 to 14 UT external service broadcast in English, although I usually tune in around 1330. All summer here, all winter there, Australia had been duplicating its Northern Territory service on that frequency. That's the night frequency, and the daytime frequency, 11880, is apparently also no longer on the air with the Northern Territory service, according to Noel Green in the UK. While I have too much local noise to really enjoy them, I've been able to pick up and identify some Indonesian 60-meter band stations around 13UT, 4605 from RRI Serui, and 4750 RRI Makassar, plus 4790, which would be RRI Fakfak. Chuck Boland in Florida has also heard the first two of these a couple of hours earlier and measured the frequencies exactly, confirming my observations. They're slightly low, from 50 to 70 hertz below the nominal frequency. There was a strike, I think for only one day, of journalists against the ABC in Australia on September 21st, forcing management to try to do newscasts and causing other disruptions in domestic and Radio Australia programming. They were striking for better pay and employment conditions. According to The Australian via Bill Westenhaver, Ron Howard in California was hearing Non-Stop Waltzing Matilda again on several Radio Australia frequencies around 1400. The 24-hour strike was a result of what the union considered an insulting offer. Australian AP via Mike Cooper reported on the 22nd that programming would return to normal after the mass strike, but unions warned rolling industrial action would continue until an agreement over pay and conditions is reached with management. Every few months, I go through the prayer bulletins posted at the Galcom website for hints about upcoming new shortwave operations by that missionary group. This tactic is to supply radios to their victims, which will only pick up approved missionary broadcasts. And I found one Saturday, September 30th. It says, pray for Pastor Norbert and Sylvia Kalau in Pohnpei, that's Micronesia, as they work out final details to install a shortwave radio station. No further details. That's in the Eastern Caroline Islands. And Mr. Norbert Kalau is found with a story on the web about his Pacific Missionary Aviation Service. Larry Fields, based in Guam, has been monitoring the U.S. Coast Guard there on 13089 kHz. They broadcast updates on Typhoon Yagi and successors at 2130 UT. Yes, that's Typhoon Yagi. We can only wonder if it's named after the inventor of the Yagi antenna. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio, number 1330. Our address, WORADIO at yahoo.com, or P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, USA. You may read much more about the stories we mention here in the archive of DX Listening Digest via worldofradio.org. Our thanks this week for Equinoxial financial support go to Gerald T. Pollard. At various times when I've tuned in the AFN Upper Sideband broadcasts, I've been surprised to hear music instead of the usual talk features. For example, September 20th from 1312 to 1321 on 12133.5 via Florida, there seemed to be a girl group singing instead of the talk features, which are still on the posted schedule at MyAFN. And another occasion, same was happening with a bunch of songs instead of short features on 7811, September 22nd from 0536 to 546. Does this indicate a format change at AFN, or someone simply plugging in the wrong stream from headquarters? Something's very wrong with the WBOH transmitter in North Carolina on 5920, yet they keep it on the air. Craig Christ in Virginia says a dirty signal bleeding up and down the band, and very distorted on 5920 itself. I have also noted this, for example, September 24th at 0510, a preacher in English, but the extremely distorted spurs were peaking around 5890 and 5905, much louder than 5920 itself. Les Rayburn in Alabama has been very busy arranging special medium wave DX tests. More about these as the weeks go on. The first one, he says he didn't have to arrange since it was offered by a DX-friendly station owned by two ham radio operators. It's WODI 1230 in Brookneal, Virginia. And starting October 1st and continuing until further notice, they'll be running a 5-minute DX test every week. That's early Sundays at midnight to 5 after midnight Eastern Time, currently 0400 UT, with Morse code IDs, sweep tones, and voice IDs. It's a 1-kilowatt station, of course, on a graveyard channel and non-directional. WODI 1230 in Virginia. The much-anticipated demolition of WOR 710's radio towers, the old ones in New Jersey, now that they have new ones, did not take place as scheduled on Wednesday, September 20th. Scott Feibusch made a point of being there at his own expense, but it was called off at the very last minute because it turned out the local sheriff had not been notified of this, and he was afraid that people driving along the New Jersey Turnpike, right next to the old site, in full view of the Manhattan skyline, would be upset if they saw the WOR towers come tumbling down. So the demolition will have to be rescheduled with even more advanced local publicity. Via Bill Smith, ARRL reports that just in time for the International Balloon Fiesta in Albuquerque, the FCC has issued some notices of unlicensed use of the ham bands. In fact, this has occurred at the Balloon Fiesta in the past, so people there are warned to be sure you're licensed if you're using amateur equipment. Furthermore, ham frequencies in the 10-meter band have been used by some trucking companies, one of them based in Tulsa, another in North Carolina. However, the FCC has specifically authorized experimental use of amateur radio in the 600-meter band, what used to be near the old 500 kilohertz maritime emergency frequency. And we have news via the top band list and via Nick Hall Patch of one such operation on the air already, apparently in Oregon. The call sign is WD2XSH/20. The 20 apparently means it's the 20th station using the same call sign. The frequency is exactly 506 kilohertz. It sends a VVV message in code. The operator, Rudy, N6LF, says he'll try to be on the air for the next 3 or 4 weeks between 01 and 0430 UT. See if you can pick it up on 506 with only 20 watts. Mark Vossmeyer points us to a site for more about this. It's 500kc.com. Steve Lehrer in Michigan and I have noticed an absence once again of CFRX from 6070. This is confirmed by Harold Sellers in Toronto of the Ontario DX Association that it's been off the air since at least September 20th. chief engineer was looking for the problem but had not found it. So the repairs may be extensive, or he just hasn't had time to do what is necessary. By the way, a new QSL card has been printed. It's now in use for CFRX and CFRB. Saul Chernus notifies us there's a special 5-hour DX program scheduled from CKDO, Oshawa, Ontario, on its new frequency, 1580, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Thursday, October 5th. That is, UT October 6th from 01 to 06. This coincides with the 60th anniversary of the station, which was originally on 1240 and most recently on 1350 before moving to 1580. It's not a DX test as such, but a special commemorative program. A toll-free number will be given out, and phone calls from distant listeners will be encouraged. I believe I mentioned recently one of the new comedy programs on CBC Radio 1 called The Debaters. It's airing both on Saturday and Monday evenings at 2230 UT, plus time shifting. But actually listening to it, I can't help but notice a disparity in the title. In print and online, it's always referred to as Debaters, but if you actually listen to it, they call it Master Debaters. I wonder if that's all one word. One cannot be too careful. Phil, by the way, tells us that the new Winter 2006, 11th edition of the International Radio Club of America Mexican log is now available. It lists all AM stations in Mexico by frequency with all the details, also cross-referenced by call letter, by city, and by transmitter site. It's available in print only for non-members. The price postpaid in North America is $11.50. Send to IRCA Bookstore, 9705 Mary, M-A-R-Y, Avenue Northwest, Seattle, Washington, 98117-2334. Checks must be made payable to Phil, by the way, spelled just like it sounds. I found Radio Havana Cuba on a new, powerful frequency for its morning broadcast in Spanish, 13750. Presumably on the air from 11 to 15 UT, like the many parallels, shortly afterwards confirmed as a new frequency by Arnie Coro. Since September 20th, he says it's a Chinese-made 100-kilowatt transmitter with a high-gain antenna aimed 340 degrees to central North America. Now, this frequency had already been used on Sundays only for Alo Presidente Chavez, starting at 1400, and it still is. After being off the air for a few weeks, Voice of Guyana has returned, reported by Dave Valco, Pennsylvania, Hardcore DX, UT September 21st at midnight 54. Frequency varied slightly around 3291.16, also heard by Chuck Bolin in Florida a few hours later at 0850 with a special program for Ramadan. But the first report of it I've seen is from Scott Barber in New Hampshire, September 20th at 2310. Radio Líder Colombia suddenly reappeared on September 22nd, first reported by Alex Branis in West Virginia at 0550 UT on its usual slightly off frequency 6139.8. They play lots of music and since then reported from everywhere during their all-night broadcast. They were still going as of September 25th, but typically they are active for a few days and then vanish for weeks or months. I hope to be proven wrong. On the Condish list, Rafael Rodriguez in Colombia reports a new Peruvian on 5602.6 called Radio La Voz de los Andes, oblivious of the fact that there's an Ecuadorian station already by that name. He heard it September 23rd from 2220 until closing at 0103. It's in a place called El Higuerón in the district of San Miguel de El Faique in Huancabamba. Actually, back in 1998, there was a station on almost exactly the same frequency, Henry Clements reported in Dateline Bogota. At that time, it was called Radio La Voz del Campesino. It appears the same manager and owner is involved. From a quiet rural location outside of Montevideo, Uruguay, Moises Knokin reports success in hearing LRA 36 Antarctica on Friday, September 22nd, 15476. Around 1945 UT, in apparently their reduced carrier upper sideband. And he was able to hear it at least until 2040 UT. Last week, we thought that the Polisario station for Western Sahara was missing from shortwave 7460, but apparently they had actually changed frequency unexpectedly to 7425, reported by Noel Green, England, and Acker Petersen, Denmark, DSWCI, already as of September 18th, heard from 0705 to 713 and 1855 to 2105. Now, Russia is supposedly scheduled in the fall on 7425 between 17 and 21 UT, but several European listeners tell us there is no interference from Russia. It's mostly in Arabic, but Jose Miguel Romero did hear a Spanish broadcast at 17:15 until 18 UT on a Thursday. However, and this is probably significant, on a Friday, Spanish was at a different time, 23:15, says Raul Saavedra in Costa Rica. Jari Savalainen in Finland follows up his previous report about Radio Kahuzi in the Congo DR on 6210. There was a misunderstanding about the schedule. The 16 to 17 UT period is probably Monday and Friday only, but the broadcasts earlier in the day are not limited to Monday and Friday, although I point out it's unlikely anyone could DX them until after 1600. He says on occasion they are on the air well past 1700 until 1725. Other times, sign-off varies around 15 or 1600. On September 25th came news from the Independent Online South Africa, via Mike Cooper, that a Zimbabwean judge threw out the case against 10 staffers of the independent radio station Voice of the People, who had been charged with breaking the country's tough audiovisual laws after branding the dragging trial a circus. That is, the judge called the trial a circus. All along, Voice of the People has remained on Radio Netherlands' schedule via Madagascar at 17 to 18 UT on 7120 with repeat programming. Does this mean they'll now be able to resume new program production? Probably not right away. A report from the Committee to Protect Journalists, also via Mike Cooper, quotes Arnold Tsunga, a VOP trustee. They're trying to resume operations, but have been virtually incapacitated since security forces raided the premises in December and confiscated equipment. We call on the authorities to return VOP's equipment immediately and allow it to resume its independent news production without fear of reprisal. Contrary to a previous report, Kai Ludwig forwards a posting by Dietmar Birkan, who produces a DX program for Radio Ukraine International in German, that there will not be new language services. This keeps circulating on the web about adding four or five languages, but it's not true. Attempts were being made to establish a Polish service. The editors were ready to launch it, but the preparations were terminated due to lack of money. So Roger Tidy heard a broadcast in their English service saying that there's a staff shortage and the pay is miserable. Ukraine has plenty of good English speakers, but they prefer to work in the commercial sector. Programs are recorded on old tapes, which are worn out. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued September 26th. Solar activity very low to low. Geomagnetic field mostly quiet to unsettled. ANK indices peaking at 20 and 4, October 1st, 15th, and 21st. Down to 5 and 2 in between, especially October 4th to 12th. Solar flux dropping from only 75 September 28th to October 13th, thereafter 70. Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio 1330.